Oh, I've been betrayed, stolen from, insulted, minimized, misrepresented, manipulated, stood up, broken up with, left off the guest list, not given a thank you, and not paid back for a loan. How disappointing. Or was it I who did those things to others? I have been misunderstood and written off by others as unreliable. Others have put me on a pedestal and knocked me off it when I didn't live up to their high expectations. Ouch. Or was it I who did this to others? Whom can we trust? Or how can we trust? What is trust, anyway? It's not a guarantee, but a sense of confidence in other people, in life, and in ourselves. Trust begins within us. David Rischow, a psychotherapist, says trust is not a dependency, but rather an assurance, an inner assurance. Trust is not something we should grant to other people for no reason. We learn to see where it belongs. We learn when we can rely on another's reliability. Likewise, trust is not something we can demand of other people. We strive to earn trust by being worthy of it. Perhaps we might trust a person in one role, but not be able to count on them in another. Every summer, I go back to my Midwestern hometown. I eat fresh tomatoes and sweet corn for dinner. I feel the rumble of a good thunderstorm. I swat mosquitoes. Oh, and I visit relatives too. In a nursing home dining room, I have lunch with a cousin of my late mother. As we pass tables of elderly folks, she introduces me. Roger Jones, Charles and Leah's boy. Oh, a woman says, Dr. Charlie? He was our family doctor, wonderful. He delivered all of my children. My father's been gone since 1975, and ever since then I have heard stories about his care, his good care, and his wisdom. I have heard that his patients trusted him, and his colleagues and nurses trusted him. It still feels good to hear it. Yet my older sibling and I remain puzzled that our childhood home was not a place where trust was built or felt or learned. It wasn't horrific, thank God, compared to some stories in the news, but still there was not a good supply of what human beings need for spiritual and emotional health. In his book, Daring to Trust, David Rischow says, to develop inner trust, first while we're growing up and then in close relationships and in our communities, to develop inner trust, we need the five A's. The five A's are attention, acceptance, appreciation, affection, and allowing. Attention. We learn to trust others by the genuine attention we receive from them, by their presence with us. Acceptance. We learn to trust others by seeing that they accept us as we are, with our imperfections as well as our gifts. We don't have to earn their love. Appreciation. We learn to trust others when they appreciate us, when they point out and praise the little things we do as well as the big things, when they notice and say thank you. Affection. We learn to trust others by their kindness and warmth to us. Trust grows when we receive physical or spoken affection in an atmosphere of mutual respect and identified boundaries. Allowing. We learn to trust others when we are allowed to express who we are, to state our preferences and beliefs, to learn for ourselves and make choices that matter to us. With the five A's, we learn to trust other people, Trust ourselves, trust life, trust the spirit of life. The five A's are important for children. It's not good when primary caregivers aren't able or willing to provide those gifts to a growing child. Yet as adults, we need to find ways to provide those gifts to ourselves and to find them in sources beyond ourselves. Not a single source, Risho says. He writes that it's too much to expect any single person to fulfill all of our emotional needs. St. Gregory of Nyssa was a bishop of the early church who died in the year 394. St. Gregory said, "We are, in a sense, our own parents and give birth to ourselves by our free choice of what is good." We are, in a sense, our own parents, and we give birth to ourselves by our free choice of what is good. One way to choose what is good is to learn from those who are worthy of trust. As we grow toward independence, Risho says, we align ourselves to those who are consistently trustworthy. As adults, our trust grows in an atmosphere of continuity and consistency. We decide if we can rely on another's reliability, whether we can trust in their trustworthiness. Unfortunately, Risho says, we still see that some people are not trustworthy, and we feel sad and injured. But as long as we don't follow suit in how we act, we can respect ourselves, and we can like ourselves more. We shouldn't stay in a harmful situation or let others take advantage of us. We can remain on our toes, noticing behaviors that indicate reasons for keeping a safe distance. And in our own actions, we can choose to be worthy of trust. By this practice, he says, by making this our practice, trying to be worthy of trust, he says, our focus has shifted from ourselves as victims of others' betrayals to keeping our own commitment to trustworthiness. For my doctoral thesis last year, I wrote a history of this congregation in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. For many years at UUSS, there was an entrenched culture of mistrust, factionalism, and fighting. Not fist fights or sword fights, but words of scolding instead of allowing, demanding instead of accepting, and accusation instead of appreciation. Elected leaders were not always treated with trust or kindness. Some leaders did not appreciate or trust the congregation. A church of many good people, but a culture where trust was rare. For a year and a half, beginning in 1989, the Reverend Eileen Karpeles was our interim or transitional minister. Eileen urged the congregation to move away from a task orientation in church life toward a trust orientation. It took us time, patience, and care to transform the culture. We had the coaching of a few more interim clergy and the courage and commitment of a number of lay leaders. They encouraged listening with respect among people of differing perspectives. They urged expressing thanks and encouragement. Rather than siding with factions, leaders took as their first priority the health of the community as a whole. The transformation has continued toward a trust orientation over the years. There's a much greater sense of mutual dependence and common mission. There's healthier communication and healthier boundaries, and the sharing of generosity and appreciation with one another. David Risho says the process is similar in our intimate relationships. We will experience frustration. We will face challenges to our sense of comfort and trust. Yet if the parties to a relationship are willing to address the issue and not avoid it, and to engage in listening and processing the challenge and coming to a resolution, we actually can deepen our trust in the relationship. We gain trust not only in others, but we learn to trust our own courage, our own wisdom, our own worth. Whether making new friends, finding a community, or seeking a partner, Risho advises us to look for people who make a practice of being worthy of trust in all parts of their lives. If a person seems to be generous, kind, and respectful, not merely toward us right now, but in how they are committed to living their life, perhaps this is evidence of who they really choose to be. This is how we learn to rely on the reliability of others. We need not take the words, "just trust me," at face value. We can trust ourselves to observe another's behaviors. We can learn if they are worthy of trust. At the same time, we can act and speak in ways so that others can learn to trust us as trustworthy. When you think about it, this congregation relies on trust. A UU congregation is nothing but the people who come together and make a decision to call themselves a congregation. That's how this one started in Sacramento 150 years ago. 17 families signed a document and created the First Unitarian Church. In doing so, they put their trust in one another and in their common mission and in the future. Today, so many years later, we continue with trust as the energy driving us, the glue binding us together. To be sure, we also have structures and boundaries. We have guidelines like our constitution and bylaws. We have our statements of mission and covenant, our Sunday rituals and semi-annual meetings. All these give shape to our trust, but without an experience of trust, our structures wouldn't matter very much. Every year, our members elect volunteers from the congregation to positions of leadership. The nominating committee has recruited candidates who are not only willing to serve, not only varied in gifts, experience, and perspective, but who have shown themselves to be open and reliable. Our board members are even called trustees. We trust them to pay attention to the health, vitality, and mission of this community. In return, those we elect show trust in the rest of the congregation, trust that we will pay attention to the mission. We will show up, listen, ask questions, and be reliable. Of course, reliability does not mean being rigid, only being real. Being real includes the ability to say, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I apologize." When we allow ourselves and one another to be less than perfect, we grow in trust with one another. Sometimes being real includes the humility to say, "I think it's time for somebody else to handle this role." When we appreciate one another, when we allow ourselves the grace to change, to try something new, or to simply to let go, we grow in trust. In this community, we can trust in our diversity of gifts and needs. With all of our talents and our imperfections, together we are enough. Every year in March, we ask one another to make financial pledges for the next budget year. The task itself is done by the stewardship committee. They do the asking and the reminding and the reminding and the reminding. And they do the appreciating too. But as a spiritual matter, it is all of us who put our trust in one another to make the best pledges we can. And we rely on one another to come through. The biggest source of income for our church's budget comes from pledges and the Sunday offering, actually 4/5 of the budget. Of course, there are additional sources of income, like the auction. But just consider fully, 4/5 of our budget is based on trust in one another. A healthy congregation can be a place where people remember how trust works and what it is. Certainly, my earliest UU congregations did that for me, and so does this one still. You know, I spend about 5 days out of every year back in the Midwest with relatives, but most of the other days of the year I spend with you. You are that reliable. Of course, trust is not a foolproof guarantee. It is a practice. If we are wise, we look for it in others. If we want to be healthy, we strive to be worthy of trust in the ways we live our lives. An example from David Richaud. Let's say you're going to the public swimming pool or to a public beach. 100 people are there. You would like to leave your wallet with someone so that you can go into the water. Richaud says, I can hand my wallet to only the one person I know and trust while I go for a swim. But any one of the 100 people there could trust me to hold their wallet. He balances his discretion about whom to trust with his commitment to be a person who can be trusted. How can we learn to be worthy of trust and be known that way? By returning to the 5 A's as our own practice. Attention. We show ourselves as trustworthy by listening, by truly being present with another person. Acceptance. We show ourselves as trustworthy by accepting others as they are. This doesn't mean putting up with harmful behavior, but accepting someone for who they are with their gifts as well as their flaws. Appreciation. We show ourselves as trustworthy by showing gratitude for others and not taking one another for granted. We notice. We say thank you. Affection. We show ourselves as trustworthy by showing affection to others with kind gestures and warmth. When we can express our own boundaries and respect another's personal boundaries, we give and receive affection, deepening our sense of trust. Allowing. We show ourselves as trustworthy by granting others the respect to express who they are, to state their preferences, to wrestle with their questions and make choices that matter to them. People trust us when they see we're not trying to fix them. Attention, acceptance, appreciation, affection, and allowing. Trust takes time, including time to learn to trust ourselves, as well as to discern who are the people we can rely on to be reliable. We cannot make another person be worthy of trust as much as we might wish to. We cannot make another person trust in us. We can only choose whether to be trustable. We can make a promise to ourselves to be worthy of trust, and we can practice it. By so doing, we bring more trust into the world. What a gift. What a gift that could be. So may we live, and so may it be. Blessed be, and amen.